with a hearty praise the Lord.
Lord, we ask you to send a word to answer present problems. Luke 7:9 reads, when Jesus heard these things, how many know the Lord hears everything we say? And he also knows what we think. He marveled and turned them about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found, read it with me, what? So great faith? No, not in Israel. So our message today, if you tie that in with Matthew 15:28, then Jesus said, answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. So what we're going to deal with today is great faith. Can we say great faith?
Great faith.
Great faith is not like regular faith. Amen. Great faith is something out of the ordinary. Now, we know in reading Luke 7, 1 down to this verse 10, that the Lord was dealing with a centurion, and he was in Capernaum. A centurion was in the Roman army. He did not have a covenant relationship with the Lord. The centurion would be considered an outsider. The centurion would be considered someone who had not yet developed a relationship with God. But when the centurion sent the elders of Israel to represent him, and Jesus was on his way back to heal his servant that had been sick, he said, Lord, you don't have to come no further. He said, I'm a man of authority like you are. He said, I said to one, go, and he goeth. And I said to another, come, and he cometh. He said, Lord, now I recognize your authority. All I need to do is speak a word. Does anyone today need God just to speak a word?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I say, does anyone need God to speak a word? And the Lord, when he heard this, now you know it's something when the scripture says the Lord marveled. He was in amazement. He was bewildered because the one he was speaking to was not of the house of Israel, but he was an outsider. He wasn't of the faith, but he had faith. Amen. So you would think that the Lord said, wait a minute, how can you call me Lord and you don't even know the Lord? How can you say I have power and you don't even have a covenant relationship with me? So the Lord said, great is thy faith. Hallelujah. Does anyone today need great faith?
Yes.
Now, this is the most startling part of the whole thing. Now, the Lord had been dealing with all those apostles. He had dealt with all the Hebrews. He said, I have not found so great faith, no, not even in Israel. So there was something different about this outsider's faith. So the question is this, what is faith? What is faith? Because a lot of time we believe that faith in the Greek is the Greek word pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. But faith a lot of time has to deal with what you believe. It deals with having a knowledge of God. But I'd like to submit that faith goes deeper than that. Because the centurion only heard about Jesus. But he knew from what he heard that he was Lord. He knew that he was master. He knew that he had power. And that all he had to do is speak a word. So the Lord said, marveling, he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. He said, you mean to tell me you believe that if I say it, it'll come to pass? You believe that if I speak it, it shall be done. So the centurion didn't have a religious relationship, but he had a conviction. And a conviction, and this is what faith is. Faith is a conviction that I can trust God. So the Greek word for faith, as I said, is pistis, which today a lot of people say, I believe. Everybody say they believe in God. If you believe in God, then what is your relationship with God? So believe. So faith has to go deeper than just believing. Amen. This, if we look at faith or compare faith in the Hebrew faith is emunah, E-M-U-N-A-H. And that represents the entirety of God. What's the difference between emunah faith in the Hebrew And this is faith in the Greek. In the Greek, it's according to what I think. But in the Hebrew, they say, we know that God is God. In the Hebrew, imana means we can trust God. Even though I don't know the outcome, I still trust God. So now, how do you know that when Jesus was speaking, he wasn't speaking Greek? Jesus was speaking Hebrew. So when he's dealing with the centurion, he's talking to him in Hebrew. So he said, even though you don't have a covenant relationship, you have a conviction. You know that I am God, and all I have to do is speak a word. You know you're proclaiming. He said, now, no one in Israel has told me that. He said, when I deal with those that are supposed to know the Lord, I'm constantly trying to build their faith. I'm trying to constantly get them to understand who I am and what I can do. But you are an outsider. You don't even have a spiritual relationship. But your faith said, all I have to do is speak a word. And I'll do it. All right, so keep that in mind, and let us go to, we're going to go a little further into this when we go into Matthew, the 15th chapter. So now, the centurion was a Gentile. He was not of the Hebrew race. The Syrophoenician woman, or the Canaanite woman, was also an outsider. They weren't within the Hebrew faith. So only two occasions in the whole Bible where God tells them great faith, where God turns them by the term great faith, and they were both those that were even a part of the covenant relationship. It shows that if you approach God with confidence, hallelujah, you can be messed up, but if you have confidence, hallelujah, you might have messed up yesterday and all before, because we know the Canaanites, the Hebrew, and God despise the Canaanites. But when you come to God in faith, when you come to God and say, God, I may not be what I ought to be. Lord, maybe I failed yesterday. Lord, maybe I don't understand you in your entirety. But I believe that all you have to do is speak a word. How many know all God has to do is speak? Hallelujah. And what I like in both of these occasions, the Bible doesn't say they were healed a week later. It didn't say they were healed the next day. But great faith brings about instantaneous results. They were healed the same hour. They were healed the same time. Because immuna faith is, God, I trust you. I trust in your sovereignty. Lord, I trust that you have a mind that anything you say can be done. Can we say hallelujah? So now that brings us up to this Syrophoenician woman. Amen. The Lord told her, you have great faith. Now I know in church, all of us got faith. How many know we all got faith? How many know we all believe there to God? Well, I'd like to submit, before we go to this Syrophoenician woman, there's a difference between believing in God and believing God. There's a difference between believing in God and believing God. This is saying you can believe in God. Immune Hebrew faith says, I believe God. How do we know? Before we go ahead, can I teach you one moment? Let's go to Deuteronomy, the first chapter. Deuteronomy chapter 1. I just want to show you that just because you know God doesn't mean you have faith. Just because you believe in God doesn't mean you have faith. Can we say hallelujah? So if we go to Deuteronomy, the first chapter, I just want to go over something quickly with you. God is dealing with Israel after they had numerous times turned their back on him. After numerous times they had said that, Lord, we want to go back into Egypt. We want to go back into bondage. Hallelujah. Let's start at the 18th verse of this first chapter of Deuteronomy. Verse 18 reads, and I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do. And when we departed from Horeb, we went through all the great and terrible wilderness, which ye saw by the way of the mountain. mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, ye are come unto the mount of the Amorites, which the Lord our God doth give unto us. Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before thee. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of thy fathers has said unto thee, he says, fear not, think you, and neither be thou discouraged. And ye came near unto me, every one of you, and said, we will send men before us, and they shall search out the land, and bring us word again by the way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come. And the same pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe. And they turned and went into the mountain, and came unto the valley of Eshcol, and searched it out. And they took of the fruit of the land in their hands, and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again, and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Now let me stop here for a minute. They said, listen, Lord, what you said is true. You said you were taking us a land that was flowing with milk and honey. They said, Lord, what you said is absolutely true. So if what God has said was true, then that should have been enough. Amen? Can we say praise the Lord? But it wasn't enough. He said, and they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down unto us, and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God doth give us. Notwithstanding, ye would not go up, but rebelled against the commandments of your God. Now the thing is, did Israel know God? Yes. Did they believe in God? Yes. But they did not believe God. And you would have to say, even in our lives, sometimes we have to look back. Say, after all that God has done for me, yes, after all the ways God has made out of knowing, after all the miracles God has made for me, after God has done what people said couldn't be done, we have to look back over our lives and say, do I really believe God? If you believe God, that means you trust God. Not a partial trust, but can we say full trust? So they knew who God was. They believed in God. But let's continue to see what God said. Verse 27 reads, and ye murmured in your tents, and said, because the Lord hated us, he hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. He said, whither shall we go up? Our brothers have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. The cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sun and him there. Then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid. The Lord your God which goeth before you. The scripture says, if God be for you, who then? If God is fighting your battle, he said, you don't have to do anything but be still. But you have to trust me. Amen. So faith, once again, deals with trust. Now, if God says the land is flowing with milk and honey, and they brought back the fruit of the land, and it was exceeding greater than what God had said, if God said that was true, why would it be also true that he would deliver them? Because they only believe in God. But they did not believe God. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Verse 29 says, then I said unto you, dread not, neither be afraid of them. The Lord your God which goeth before you, he shall
fight for you.
The Lord is going to fight for you. According to all that he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. So what Moses is doing is we have just a reflection moment. Think of what you were when people had given up on you. Think of the times when you were strung out on drugs and you didn't even know if you had a right mind. Think of the time when everything else controlled you but God. But look at where you are now. Look at what God has done for you now. Look at the way God made for you now. When others look at you, you say, you'll never amount to anything. God said, but I put my and in the wilderness where thou hast seen how the Lord thy God bear thee, as a man doth bear his son. God said, now I just need you to consider for a moment all that I've already done for you. Yeah, I see you got problems in the future. I see you might have health challenges in the future. I see you got financial challenges in the future. I see you have relationship problems. God said, but I don't want you to look at the problem. I want you to see what I've already done. Has God already done anything for anybody in this morning? Has God touched your soul? Has God healed you? Has God been waiting for you? I say, has God done it? Has God ever done it before? Don't you know he can do it again? Has God healed you before? Don't you know God can heal you again? Has God been waiting before? Don't you know God can make a way? God said, don't look at tomorrow. I want you to keep your confidence in me. He said, I want you to trust me. How can you trust God? So he's dealing with Israel concerning all this. Lord, I thank you. Yeah, Lord, the old son said, when my soul looks back and wonders, I just want to know how I got over it. Hallelujah. If I listen to all of the naysayers, they're saying what I wouldn't be and what I couldn't accomplish, hallelujah, where would I be today? But I don't look at them, evangelists, Lord, I said, I look at God. Why? Because looking unto Jesus, he's the author and finisher of my faith. I don't have faith outside of God. My faith comes through God. I wonder today, how many will God be healed them? How many will God to make a way? Your faith comes through God. Through God we have the victory. Through God we can overcome. Can we say hallelujah? But I just want to focus in on verse 32 for a minute. The Lord, your God. By the mere fact that they will communicate with God, they believe in God. But they did not believe his word. Well, how do we know when we believe the word? Let us skip down to what he said about Caleb. Let us go down to verse 35. Well, let's finish this. Let's read verse 34. He says, and the Lord heard the voice of your words and was God said, I heard what you can see. I heard how you said God can't do this. I heard how you said things are too big and God can't move them. I heard how you said your problem is greater than anything God can do. God said, I heard your words and I was bought. Verse 35 says, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation. See that? Well, what prevented them from seeing the miracles? What prevented them from seeing the healing? What prevented them from seeing the deliverance? The Bible said they were evil. What made them evil? They did not trust God. I know today we might be going through some serious situations, but you still got to trust God. Well, what is trust? Lord, I don't know how it's going to work out. Picks up a child. believe God.
Amen.
So, well, all of these other people had the same thing you had, but they didn't have the faith. I have in God. I have faith. My faith is imuna. That means I am firmly planted in God. Let the winds blow. Let the storms come. Let adversity arise on every side, but I'm still planted. I'm still set in the Word of God. But it said Caleb was different. Verse 36 said, "Say Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he shall unquestionable obedience. So if God said that I'm going to really ask you or anybody else. God just said it. So because I don't have to question God, that is my obedience that shows I have faith. So when you question God, that is not faith. Faith is, I believe that God, how do you believe God can do anything? Because the Bible says, pay off. Is there anything too hard for God? Right? So because I have faith, I just come to God. God, I don't question you. Listen, this is in your hand, Minister Simon and Sister Simon. Yeah, God, we believe you can heal our son, but if you don't heal him, I still got joy. I still got peace. I got joy that the Lord can give to me. I got joy the world can't take away. I got joy that I need my soul. Let me say hallelujah. So even after I'm sitting here, Lord, I'm believing you for a miracle. But when you just transition into the next life, in God. So if you have faith, you don't question. You don't hesitate. When God says, go, you go. Now, this is not faith. If God has told you to do something, he told, listen, God speaks to all of us on a daily basis. Even those that don't know God, he speaks to them. Remember, he said, I surnamed Cyrus, and he don't even know me, and I called him 200 years before he was born. He called Cyrus in Isaiah, but Cyrus wasn't born until Jeremiah, 200 years later. He said, I've called and surnamed him by name, even though he don't even know me. That's the kind of God we serve. So God already knows the outcome. So what God needs you to do is trust him. Can we say hallelujah? Let me, I want to finish up in Matthew, the 15th chapter. Let's start verses 21. We're going to go through verses 21 through 28. Now, once again, these were outsiders. The Canaanites, my wife told them, she said, they're like the dogs. The Canaanites were the worst of the worst. Listen, God had no tolerance for the Canaanites. Jericho was the Canaanites. God destroyed everything in Jericho but Rahab the harlot because she had great faith. Because her faith was not dependent upon what she saw, what was happening around them, she told those spies, she said, we all know God has given you this thing to say. Was she a Jew? No. Was she a Hebrew? Was she an Israelite? No. But her spirit, her conviction said, God has already given you our city. She said, when God gave you the city, just remember me and my family. Anybody want God just remember me? Yes. Come on, anybody want God to remember me? Say, listen, I know everybody else is coming down, but I am not going down with them because I have faith. Well, Matthew 15, 21 reads, then Jesus went thence and departed to the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan, Luke called her a Syrophoenician woman, came out of the same coast and cried to him. Now listen, she is a Canaanite. She does not know the Lord. But let's listen to how she addresses God that gets his attention. All right? So she first, she said, have mercy on me. She's a Canaanite. How does she know that Jesus is Lord and Lord is God? So God says, wait a minute. I've been trying to convince all my people in Israel that I'm God. I'm the Lord and I'm God. But you just said, have mercy on me. Now she didn't call him Jesus, the son of David, all the Hebrews knew. Son of David meant Messiah, not Jesus. She said, you are God and you are the Messiah. Jesus said, hold on for a minute. How do you know who I am? But she was speaking the right language and she got his attention. So if you need God to heal you, you have to speak the right language. Amen. So all of Israel, when you acknowledge him as being Lord, as a matter of fact, come and said, show us the Father. This Canaanite woman knew who the Father was because she called him Lord. And And then she said he was also the Messiah. Son of David always means Messiah. It doesn't mean Jesus. All right, so when you see Son of David in Scripture, it's just what the Hebrews or the Israelites or Jews believe, that the Messiah is coming. Unfortunately, today they have a veil on their eyes. Can we say thank God for the veil? Because if they didn't have a veil, we wouldn't have a right to salvation. So their veil opened up the door of salvation to the Gentiles. This woman was a Gentile. But as a Gentile, she's acknowledging, I know who you are, Lord. She said, my daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. And he answered her, but she had his attention. Amen. Well, how do we know about faith? He says, great is our faith. Right? So he had her attention all along. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cried after us. So the scenario that's being painted is the woman is in need. She's desperate. Everybody desperate? Yes. So when she calls Jesus, Jesus says, keep on walking. She said, I just called you Lord. I just called you Messiah. I told you my daughter's in need, and I want to have mercy. Jesus kept walking. So you know what the woman did? She didn't quit. So the scenario is being painted as Jesus walking. She's running and crying after them. Why? Because she was persistent. Faith does not yield in the face of temptation. Faith does not yield when things aren't going your way. And Jesus didn't answer a word. He kept walking and she kept crying. So those disciples said, Lord, send her away. She's crying after us. This is embarrassing. She's calling us. Amen. But the woman goes on to say in verse 24, he answered and said, finally, because she wouldn't stop crying. She kept yelling, Jesus. Next you know, she just said, Lord, the Son of David, have mercy on me. So she got his attention. When the disciple said, send her away, he turned and said to her, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't say, I don't heal you. He said, but my main purpose, my number one objective is to go to the house of Israel. Then came she and Lord, thank you. My wife was saying this not too long ago. She said, you know, all these people keep talking about how they can't get healed because they haven't learned to worship. Right? What did she do when she worshiped? She fell down at his feet. She didn't care who was around. She was desperate. That's what faith will cause you to do, to be desperate. You don't care who's around. So my wife was saying, she said, I see people talking about how they want God to do something for them. She said, but I have not yet seen them learn to worship. Amen. Because you know what worship does? Worship opens up the eyes of God. Worship opens up the ears of the Lord. Why? Because the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So when you begin to worship God, when you begin to praise God, God says, wait a minute, I'm going to come into this situation. So the woman doesn't give up. Jesus is walking. Now listen, and she's crying after them. Listen, now you have to get the whole picture. In order for this woman to fall into sleep, that means she has to just ignore everybody what? Run up in the front of them? Amen? This woman said, listen, even though the disciples are trying to stop me, they're surrounding Jesus, she ran up in front of them, bust through the crowd, and fell at his feet. That's what faith is. You can't allow obstacles to hold you back. Can we say hallelujah? But he answered and said, it is not me to take the children's bread and to cast it to the ground. For years, how many thought dogs, you know, dogs mean Gentile, but that ain't what that meant. So what the Lord was telling, he said, listen, I have to take care of the children and give them their provisions first. But this word that he used for dog means like a lap dog or a little puppy. Right? Something that's in the house around the table. So what the Lord is telling you, I gotta take care of the first thing first. I cannot give you the children's bread. Amen. He's telling you the dogs and those that God disinherited. It means I can't give this to the puppies. Right? Anybody got animals? Do you feed the animal or your children first? This is what I'm gonna say. Who do you feed first? This is a trick question. Who do you feed first? Oh, y'all got a cat, y'all Some of y'all ain't heard. Y'all feed y'all birds and y'all children first. So then the trick question. So he said, listen, you have to have the right priority. So a lot of people say he just shut the door on the lady. No, he left a loose clause. He left a loose gap. He left a loose something for her to squeeze in. Because he didn't say no, not at all. He said, I got to do first things first. This is what faith will tell you. Do first things first. So the woman says unto him, truth, Lord. Truth who? She's still calling him Lord. She said, after all this, I know you're still a Lord. She said, true Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. The Lord wasn't telling her, no. He was just going to see what was her faith. Where was her persistence? What's she going to fight through? What's she going to press through? Then Jesus answered and said to her, oh, woman. Great is thy faith. After all of this that I've taken you through, you still believe I'm Lord. One Lord, one faith, still one baptism. I may not have what I want to have, but I still believe He's the Lord of Lords, and He's still the Lord. Maybe I've had hardships and trouble along the way, but He's still the Lord.
Today, God's looking for great faith. You check your own self out of the gifts.